The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
So what's our primary motive for preaching the gospel? Glorifies God. It's glorifying God. It's not because they need it, though they do. Not because it makes you feel better when you hear yourself preach, because it does. Man, I get pumped up every time I share my faith. But the motive can only be, and the only lasting motive for any kind of ministry, I'm not just talking about evangelism, anytime you pray for someone, the motive is just to bring glory to Jesus because he's worth it. He's worthy. You see? Amen? And that you know, it's the same reason we serve our wives or our brothers and sisters in a church, because they have value. And Jesus has the ultimate value of the universe. Amen? I'm happy to report my voice. I sound a little better than last time, don't I? And you know what's amazing? I've preached 5 services this weekend. We had a conference up north, and I'm feeling great. I had a breakthrough on Saturday when the conference band was awesome, worship team, and I was like, man, I want to sing God, but if I do, I'll lose my voice. And the Lord said to me, He said, sing by faith. So I just opened up my heart and started singing, and my voice has been better every day. So we're good. We're good. Hallelujah. All righty. So I would like to get some feedback from you guys, because I know from the, I've been doing this for about 6 or 7 years on this teaching that, am I doing this right? Oh, there it is. That a lot of the concepts I'm sharing about how to hear God's voice, the way I'm teaching it, is very unique, because we're differentiating between thoughts and God's voice, or maybe the enemy's voice. And most of your life, you believe that when you talk to yourself, what you say in your head was thoughts. We realize those are not thoughts, that's actually you. And I want to get some feedback as you're exploring, because I assume throughout the week you're trying this, you're talking to God, you're listening, you're asking questions, and maybe some of you had, I'm praying, reached out to some lost people and shared your faith with somebody. That's the goal of this thing. See, I'm an activator. My whole goal is to teach you with activation. I mean, if I could, I'd take you out with me every day and we'd go witnessing. You know, we've already started our Saturday afternoons at the mall, at Mall of America. I take people out. That's kind of our winter training ground, you know. We have our spring training ground down at the lakes here, you know, Lake Calhoun, Lake Harriet, and stuff like that. Really fun to get people saved down there. It's awesome. But the whole goal, I just love what Pastor Dave is saying about, listen, we don't need more information. I mean, we really don't. I'm still trying to obey what I heard the first year I was a Christian, you know. Really, but I want to do what I know. Because if you don't do what you know, you become self-deceived. James says that in James. Be ye not hearers of the word only, but doers, deluding themselves, it says in verse 22. So we want to do what we know. Otherwise, you know, it's not healthy. And as you do, you learn so much. I didn't have anybody train or mentor me. I just would preach the gospel and everything that moved, because I had an encounter with God, and I learned about, I didn't even know what I was moving in, word of knowledge. I didn't know it was a word of knowledge. I was like, they go, how'd you know that? And I'm like, I don't know. Just, I don't know, you know? And so you learn by doing more than by hearing, right? You understand that, right? You learn more by doing than hearing. But the current Western system is, you know, I stand up here and talk and you listen. That's actually not really biblical models. The Hebrew teaching model is coming with someone to do. That's why Jesus took 12 guys and lived with them for 3.5 years. And they followed him around everywhere. Right? And I wish I could put you all in my back pocket and just take you with me. Because, you know, this weekend when we took lunch breaks, we're witnessing to waitresses, we're praying for sick, praying for people, you know, out at wherever we are at, you know. And the pastor was having a blast. You know, he wasn't used to that a little bit. That was kind of a stretch, but he had a great time. So tell me, give me some feedback on what's been happening with you the last couple of weeks. Anybody at all? Right over here. Mm-hmm. Remember the rule. That's right. I know. I'm so naughty.
Actually, one of the gals that was here with me, or I invited her, I had seen her at Walmart. She's a client where I work. And she came up to me. One of the rules is you can't approach a client and whatever. Anyway, she came out to me and said, oh, they let you out and whatever. And through that,
she let you out?
Let me out of my work. I don't know why she said that, you know.
You know, I didn't know. Maybe
you
got some things going on there. Okay.
So anyway, long story short, she was interested in our church because I told her about what was going on. I said, oh, you got to come. There's somebody telling us how to listen to God. She goes, oh, I really need that. So she came last week. And back it up, like about a month and a half ago, she came up to the counter and up to the front desk, and I just saw a waterfall.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay. So I drew a waterfall, and then she left, and I was like, should I go get it? Should I go give it to her? And I'm like, I was wrestling.
Okay.
And I finally ran out there, and there was a car blocking her car, so she couldn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I went.
Of course, that was just a coincidence.
Yeah. And so I went out and said, oh, when you were standing at the counter, I saw this waterfall. I don't know if it means anything to you, but I just felt like I should give it to you. It may mean refreshing. It may, but I'm not going to interpret it. It just, here's a waterfall, and I just want you to be blessed. Well, when we sat here talking last week, because I prayed with her, she all of a sudden had this click that, oh, on our honeymoon, we went to Hawaii, and we saw a bunch of waterfalls.
Okay, I don't really want to hear about Hawaii right now and waterfalls.
Okay? I know, okay. I know. But anyway, that was amazing to me, and I said, well, I'm not getting a download as to what that means. I think
right.
You're supposed to hear where that, you know, what sure. It is. She's going through a divorce, so.
Oh, okay.
That was, I'm not going to, I just felt like, well, if the Lord gives me something, I'll tell you, but, you know.
Right.
So anyway, then this week, I went to Walmart again.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
that's
like my pool of Siloam. I love Walmart.
I went through the checkout, and the two cashiers were switching. So this other gal's coming in, she was like, oh, my hair's such a mess, and it's windblown, and I'm like, oh, it looks fine. And then she's like, oh, it's because I'm smoking. I want to quit smoking. And she just kept talking about all these. And I thought, Lord, am I supposed to pray for her? Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but there's a guy behind me. And I don't want to, like, reach across. And I don't want to. And so she kept checking us out, kept talking. And I was like, receptive.
Aha. She's learning.
She wants something.
Yeah.
So she came around.
Open heart.
Put my stuff in the cart. And there was one bag. Usually they just ring it around and let you grab it. She walked over, was 2 feet from me, and I was like, okay. So I said, so would you like me to pray that you quit smoking? Oh, sure. Can I do it right now? So I just started praying. And then she said, oh, and pray that I have energy too. Okay, then.
Wow.
She was at me, and I thought, well, I could keep going here, but she does have people behind me.
Yeah.
So it was really cool, and I just prayed. So then I got in the car, and I just prayed, and I was so excited, and I was like,
woo.
Yoo-hoo!
Yes.
And then I got to the school, and I was like thinking that I should – I really want a parking spot, but I was really saying in my spirit that I want a spot.
That's right.
And I drove around, and there was right in the front my spot. My name on it.
There you go.
And then we went to Herberger's yesterday, and we were walking around, and I had this coupon we didn't use. There was a lady looking at something, and I went over and I said, I want to give you this. Somebody had given it to me. I was giving it to her. And she was very friendly. I said, what is your name? And my name is Joe. And anyway, I prayed with her that she would be blessed to find what she needed. She had two coupons, actually, and I said, if you need to use both of them, great, and if you don't, you can pass that one on.
Mm.
But it was really cool, so I prayed with her again.
Awesome.
I'm so excited.
Awesome. You see that she's developing a lifestyle of listening and speaking and watching. She's developing a radar lifestyle, right?
This. She's talking.
Yeah.
You know, she was like, oh, hi, blah, blah, blah. And I go, okay, I got to do something.
Amen? That's exactly the point of John 4,
yeah.
Right? We're going to kind of move a little bit of word of knowledge tonight, but begin to move into tonight, next week on spirit-led witness. How do we know somebody's open? I talked about that last week, but that's one of the keys, because I don't like to witness to people that aren't open, right? And of course, combining with inquiring of the Lord and getting the signals, body, you know, eye contact, verbally, whatever, and mixing that with the word of knowledge, and man, you've got, or a healing, you've got a power package there. So that's awesome. Go, Joe.
Yeah.
Go, Joe. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
I had two things. Last Sunday, my husband and I, we went shopping, and on the way, we passed a girl that her car was stalled in the middle of a, you know, not a fun place. And we, I saw she was a girl, so we turned. Dan said, "Oh, we got to turn around." So we turned around, we came back, and I got out to approach her, and I said, "Are you okay?" Here she's crying. She's on the cell phone, and then I said, "My husband and I will help you." So. Anyways, we ended up helping her. We pushed the car. She called her mom. We had AAA. We said we'd do that, but we went and bought gas for her and, you know, just kind of treated her. I just had this love for her like she was my daughter. And anyways, and I talked to her, and so how are you doing? I could tell she life had been a little rough. And she said, I asked her where she went to school. She said, well, I actually graduated from a... she said, I didn't finish school on time, so I went back, and I just finished Friday. So this was Sunday. I'm like, congratulations, you know, that's a big deal. Anyways, afterwards, we gave them some, you know, a graduation gift. I gave her some money. I'm like, congratulations. I asked her, can I pray for you? You know, I asked her if my husband and I could, just because you're setting off in your new life. And she said, yeah. And we prayed together. She cried. I don't know what happened. You know, I just prayed for the Lord to show her that he's always there in times of fear. When she's scared, he's got that little girl, and he'll take care of you in abundance. You know, and just, so anyways, it was awesome. And
did you get her number?
I have her name and her address.
All right. Way to go.
You know, the only reason we did that is because AAA was going to, we called AAA to bring her car to her house. But then they ended up starting it and blah, blah, blah. But I thought, I still have it.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah.
But, and then another one, Walmart. Walmart's great.
It is great.
Yeah.
Walmart, Target's not so bad, but Walmart's better.
Yeah. And I knew this gal, and... she was telling me how her son was not doing very well. It was a boy that I homeschooled for a while. And
so people pouring their heart out to you with a felt need.
Right? Yeah. And anyways, I mean, I was struggling with alcohol and drugs and in treatment. And so anyways, I was telling her about Teen Challenge as compared to other ones. And, you know, and explained, I said, this is... Anyways, we got into some of the what he's dealing with as spiritual stuff.
Okay.
And she said that, well, okay. Anyways, we ended up praying. I'll cut all the little details.
That's good. Yeah.
And as we're praying, some guy came up to us and he said, hey, I was just wondering, are you guys praying? And I said,
come on.
And
really?
We said, yeah. He goes, well, I was wondering if I could pray with you. I'm like, come on. So I came, I said, well, this, I said, she lost her husband a year and a half ago. Her son, her only son, is having a tough time. He's dealing with drugs and alcohol. He's in treatment now, and we're just praying for him to just to have breakthrough and stuff. And he goes, well, I just want to tell you, I'm a recovered alcoholic and drug addict. I'm like, oh, my gosh, Lord, you're so cool. And
it's all coincidence, though.
Yeah. And so he said, he's going to be okay. I just want to let you know he's going to be okay. Yeah. And so then he prayed. He goes, well, I'm not much of the leading of the prayer. So we just prayed, and he agreed with us. And I'm like, sweet.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff, you guys. Anybody else, real quick? Any guys had a little encounter here? We want to know about your encounter.
I was on Facebook earlier this week, and a coworker of my son's had just moved out of state, and she's got a very foul mouth on Facebook, and she was complaining about this, that, and the other thing, and then she had to read 6th chapter of Revelations and something else and swear and swear and swear, and I just felt, I've got to encourage this gal, because it just doesn't make sense to me. And over the course of 2 days, I encouraged her a little bit, and her heart just opened wide open. Found out she was pregnant, went to church for the first time, got a pamphlet about, you know, keeping the child. The sermon was about value of life. God is just doing some amazing work.
Again, it's all coincidence.
Just a word of encouragement, and great things are happening.
Amen. So. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Good stuff. Hebrews 5:14. Let's remember what that says. That through practice, we have our senses trained to discern good and evil. Okay? So we want to practice. Now, my whole thing about learning to hear God's voice, it does have a fringe benefit for us. But in this context, I want you to keep in mind that the goal is for you is to walk around with your radar up looking for divine appointments. Remember Ephesians 2:10, where his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God has prepared ahead of time, right? Before, and that we should walk in them. They're good works. It's fun. Evangelism is not scary. Did that hurt you? Was that painful, what you did?
I wanted to save.
Okay, no. All right. Gotta make it quick.
And it didn't hurt me, but you know what? I have to attempt, and I saw her, and I didn't want to talk, so I'd be fine. You know,
who's her? The gal you prayed for. Okay.
Because I was selfish in my own schedule, because I had to hurry up, and I did, and then she came after me. You know, and she's like, hi, hi. I'm like, well, hi, because I know we talk so much. And at that time, I couldn't. I thought, because I knew I should, or I was led to it.
So tell us about that. So she said, I knew I was led to it. How did you know that?
I saw her.
And when you saw her, what happened? See, I want you to pay attention to this.
I
you felt a draw in your heart.
Yeah, I knew that I was fighting it.
Right.
The whole.
No, listen, we're all there.
Yeah, I know.
Every one of us. Listen, remember I told you about Walmart when I was here in Elk River a while back? I'm going into Walmart with my agenda, and thank God the Holy Spirit said, hey, what about what you teach? I went, oh, right, you know, and I had the encounter with that girl. So listen, but here's the deal. If you want to be Spirit-led, you have to get rid of your agenda. You have to go, okay, God, yes, I have to get orange juice and milk and cookies and ice cream and cake. Oh, that's my list. I'm sorry. But, you know, I have to do whatever. Yes, you do what you go about your day. But as you're going about, you look for the divine encounters, okay? And again, it's fun. It's encouraging. I mean, aren't you guys built up after that stuff? I mean, you're fired up, right, Joe? Come on, you said you were pumped, like, woo! I'm telling you, after I get done preaching the gospel to somebody, I don't care if they totally do not receive it. I walk away, because the word just bounces off of them, comes right back at me. So, and I don't hear any, like, major, you know, power gifts going on or major quoting of scripture, although you want to do that, but it's not like everybody's, you don't have to be a superstar. Because I know you're going to say in your heart, well, but I'm not outgoing. I don't know enough scripture. I know all the excuses that the enemy does. I'm just telling you, these are people just like you who have gone about their day, but just kind of tuned in a little bit, just checked in going, waterfall? Here, I'll give that a shot. Right? I mean, hey, you know, what's it going to hurt? Like I said, they're not going to go, hey, you just missed a word of knowledge. I'm calling your pastor. You're out of here. You know, they're not going to do that. They're going to go, well, this lady gave me a drawing of her waterfall. It was interesting. And she put it, you know, I mean, so what's the worst? She crumbles it up, throws it away. What's the worst that's going to happen, you guys, right? So we miss it because that's the fear, right? Fear of failure. Fear of missing it. That's the fear. Fear of rejection. I just did a whole conference this weekend on rejection. Okay, you get 10 more seconds.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
I was on my walk. I saw my neighbor.
Is she always this way?
I'm sorry.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome. Keep going. Keep going.
Well, anyways.
I'm leaning close because they're going to use my mic.
The Lord said to go pray for him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, I didn't want to. And I'm like, Lord, why do I have to do this? And I was like, then after I passed, okay, I'll go do it. So I went on my walk. I got in my truck and I went back. Got there.
This is a guy you know, I hope.
Well, he's my neighbor.
Oh,
and
kind of,
whatever. I saw him every day.
Just checking.
And I said I was just wondering if I could. I was walking by and I said, that you're healed. And he goes, mm-hmm. No, I have a, my, I'm private. Oh, I said, that's okay. I said, no problem. I'll pray for you. It was, what the heck? You know, I'm serious.
And what did God say?
I said, why did you do that? Me, said.
Okay, he did reject you. He rejected me. Did Jesus get rejected? When Jesus went down to Capernaum and not a lot happened, did he miss God? No. Remember the story I told you about? I gave that tract to that waitress and she kind of threw it away. And the Lord spoke to me. Said I wanted to give her one more chance. You see, what's the key to success in evangelism? Obedience. Amen. You guys are learning. See, all the stuff I heard about you guys, it's not true. Come on. I'm just decent. I'm terrible, aren't I? Turn to 1 Samuel 23. Let's get the biblical model here. Amen. Good old David. Hallelujah. But that's the point, you guys. We're going to practice inquiring on the Lord. You're going to learn that that voice, quote, in your head is not your thoughts. It's your voice. And when God speaks to you, it sounds a lot like you, but it's not you. And you will learn to discern the difference, okay? You will learn to discern the difference. Hallelujah. And then we're going to talk a little more about the word of knowledge, and then we're going to move into the Spirit-led witnessing. Hallelujah. But I want to just to refresh real quick, and then we're going to break into some discussion time tonight too. So I'm going to be fairly brief tonight. But I want to give you this model, 1 Samuel 23. David had an enemy come at him. In verse 2, he inquires of the Lord, okay? And the Lord says, go and move forward. Go and do something. Go and attack. Verse 3, fear comes in. Verse 4, David inquired of the Lord once more, okay? Turn over to 2 Samuel 5. 2 Samuel 5. David, and I was in Samuel a lot this weekend on rejection and stuff with Saul. And there's more examples of this, but I want you just to see this pattern, 2 Samuel 5. David's enemy came up. So let's say your enemy is fear of rejection, right? Or your fear of failure. You know, Lord, what if I don't have the right scripture for him? Or what if they don't get healed? I see this guy walking around. You know, what if your neighbor guy says you can pray for him? You do pray for him. It doesn't get healed. So that thought goes through your mind. It's actually not a thought. It's a voice. Probably the devil. Probably not God, I'm thinking. Okay. But it's the enemy. Okay. See, can I just make some, I'm going to make a statement to you. Everybody look up here. It's real important. As we are learning to hear God more clearly, you can't hear God better and not hear the devil better. Okay, when you're entering more into the spirit realm and learning to be more sensitive to the spirit realm, you're increasing your radar. Your spirit man is opening up. You're open to more, right? Remember what I told you last week? When you're willing to hear anything, you'll begin to hear everything. Okay, if you have your agenda and you're only willing to hear, I'm not willing to hear pray for the sick, but I'm willing to hear to give them a track or something. See, then you're not going to hear what God may want for that person. But when you're willing to hear anything, you're going to hear everything, including more of the devil at first. The devil will try you on. Now, I don't hear the devil a lot because he knows I know his voice. A few times he'll give me one little one-liner and then I'll say, Lord, who's talking? You know, I won't say who's talking. I'll say, you know, why or something like that. Remember the second question? Remember that? And I'll pretty much, the gig's up after the first little thing he'll try on me, you know. Now, I also want you to know that I practice and I actually test the Lord in some things. I'll give you an example. This weekend, we had a break from ministry, and I wanted to go to a gas station to get some firewood. I was at a nice lake house and had a fireplace, and I'm a pyromaniac, so I went to get some firewood. And there was this gas station up to the right, and I thought, ooh, this is close. I'll go up there. But I thought, let me just ask Dad if they got firewood. It's good to know. He knows whether they got firewood, right? So I said, Lord, is there firewood there? And he goes, no. I was like, you know, and I was being a little bit naughty, but I thought, well, Lord, I said, really, there's no firewood there? It looks like it'd be a place with firewood. He goes, yes. And then he said, son, so he clarifies. Remember the second time you ask, you get more information. He said, son, they don't have firewood. And I thought, you know, the devil will try me on one time, like saying no or yes, but he usually doesn't call me son. So I'm pretty confident it was God. But you know I drove around that station, don't you? I checked it out. What was I doing? I was testing my hearing. I was testing my ability to hear. I wasn't really testing God, but I was in a way, but I was testing God in me. Right? So I practice this, you guys, and I've been doing this, I've been teaching this all over the world for 6-7 years now. But I still have to keep it going, okay? And I try to cultivate it. Susan and I try to cultivate a lifestyle of this. I mean, when we, you know, should we go buy groceries or what, do we give it an offering? Or we inquire, Lord, what'd you hear? Oh, I heard this. Okay, boom. All the time. And so you're gonna hear the enemy a little bit more at first, but you'll clarify it. You'll know by the fruit, character, and motive of what you hear, what is right. But I want you to see how David, even though he fought the Philistines a zillion times, and even though he always went down and usually won, by the way, he still had enough humility and wisdom to inquire of the Lord as to what to do in each situation. Because one time you might need to just pray for the person. Another time you might need to preach the gospel. Another time you might need to offer money. You see what I'm saying? Every situation is different. What bothers people, and frankly Christians, is rote ministry, especially in evangelism. Well, now you got to say these four scriptures or do these four spiritual laws or do this. Or like some guy said, well, you got to preach the law to them. Or you got to do this. Well, you know. No. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So the way to solve all these dilemmas is to what? Inquire the Lord. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this person? oh, I want you to pray for them and then give them $10 or something, right? And that really solves all the methodology issues we have with ministry. Someone comes up to you. See, like, people used to come up to me in a prayer line and say, would you pray for me? And I had prayer lines this weekend. And normally I used to do this. Okay, in the name of Jesus, and I just would start praying. But now I take about 1 millisecond, and I just say, Lord, what do you want me to pray? So I no longer just kind of fake it till I make it and just, well, I'll get the right word of knowledge for him while I'm praying. Somewhere in the mix there, it'll come out good. I just say, Lord, just once I just say like this, Lord, what do you want me to pray? And I'll hear exactly what to pray, and my prayers are real short and real succinct. It saves everybody a lot of time, and they're much more accurate. David never presumed. He always, when he fought the Philistines, you see this all throughout Samuel in his life, he inquired of the Lord. And I just love that about David. I think, again, one of the keys that made him a man of God. Joe, you had another thing real quick? Yep. Real loud. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't remember her, but that's fine. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to do that tonight, by the way. We're going to practice some things, and I'm going to talk about, we're going to practice praying for one another, and I call it praying their mail. Now, I want you to get to the point when you're talking to someone, you can hear the word of knowledge, which I talked a little bit about word of knowledge last week, but one way to practice the word of knowledge is to pray for one another, and as you're praying, being listening and open for that insert. Remember I talked, what's one of the signs of the word of knowledge? It comes out of what? Outside of your flow of conversation, your thought flow. It interrupts it. Why? To get your attention and to get their attention so they're more open to God. Amen? Okay. So David had a lifestyle of inquiring of the Lord. Our goal is to live a lifestyle. Whether, and listen, you know what? It doesn't even have to be spiritual stuff. Lord, should I buy this stock? Lord, should I mow my neighbor's yard? You know, practice this as a lifestyle so that when you get to a ministry situation and you inquire, why, you're so confident that you've heard God because you've been asking God about firewood. Amen? You see? Like, you know, I'm sorry, tell me you're Heidi. So if Heidi calls me right now and she goes, hey, Anthony, like some gal, I was driving down the highway today concentrating a lot because it was snowing. She goes, hi, Anthony. And it's a 952 number and I have no clue who it is. And I said, hi. She goes, oh, your voice sounds kind of low. Are you sick? And I go, well, I'm getting better. And I still don't have a clue. I said, well, who's this? And she told me who it was. See, I didn't know her voice. Because I don't talk to her very often. She comes to our meetings and stuff. But if Susan called me, no question, right? Because I've cultivated time with her. It's the same with God. But most of us live our Christian life like this, in a worship service or maybe in a prayer time. Maybe God will break through once in a while, we hear him. And once in a while, we know that we heard God, right? I'm telling you, there's a better way. We can practice a lifestyle. Like Dave was saying, I don't know how you said it earlier, Pastor, but just to, just abiding, okay? And it's not like, woo, you know, la la, abiding stuff. It's just, I'm conscious, always, you know, like, what's your name? Nathan. So, hey, Nathan and I are hanging out, and Nathan and I are just, oh, so we're walking together, and we're just walking down the aisle, and we say, hey, what's up? How you doing? You know, yeah, where are you from? Yeah. No, right now. That's
right
good.
Now.
Cool. Where'd you get that shirt? Yeah, cool. Hey, you want to go get a coffee? Yeah. See, you drink one with me. Thank you. But see, what it is we're just walking together, and I'm checking in with them. Yeah. A friend of mine, I have an Italian friend. His name's Giovanni Bertolini. He's a little Italian. True story. And we went to school together. And here, Dave, stand up. So in Italy, guys actually walk with their arm in arm. Or they do hand in hand. But the other thing they do, kind of interesting, kind of cool, is they'll walk down the street. Let's say David and I are walking down the street, and I want to go this way. They'll just kind of do this, kind of nudge him over. And they're not homosexual or anything. It's not a feminine thing. But they just kind of, and see, you can do that with the Lord. Just right? He's in me. He's on me. He's with me. So just walking around, and now watch this. And I see somebody, and I feel a little, oh, let me go talk to her. Remember the Kmart story? Went back to the gal. I'm walking out the door, and it was right here, because that's where the Spirit of God lives. I was like, whoa. I felt a little, you might call it pressure. I call it a pull. It was like, whoa, I'm not done. See, because I'm walking, you know, here, so you stand up. So I'm walking, and if Heidi were to do this, sorry. So if I'm walking, and she knows more because she's the Holy Spirit, so she's smarter. So she gives me a little, you know, nudge. I'm like, whoa, we need to go back. See, so I turned around. Now, I had nothing when I got the nudge, but I felt the pull. I felt the little nudge. Thanks, Jean Stone. And so as I turn in obedience, you know, by faith, right, I got the word depression. See? Had I just kept going and go, oh, not sure what that was. Let's see. Now I got to eat lunch. I got to get coffee. Right? If I would have gone beyond that, she would have missed out in knowing that God cared for her. Because remember, I went back, said, hey, are you struggling with depression? She said, yeah, my mom just died, blah, blah, blah. So we can live a lifestyle of not only sensitive hearing, but now I want you to move to in spirit-led witnessing, knowing who's open by the nudge of the Lord or the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Now, this will be with eye contact. It'll be with body language. It'll be with conversation, chatty, chatty. Okay? Remember I taught you out of John 4 last week? How many were not here last week? Okay, a number of you. And I saw, Bob, two of the sessions were on, but I didn't see last Sunday's on the website. Is it on the website? Well, my voice was so bad, maybe you don't want it on the website. Yeah. Yeah, okay. But I encourage you to get that. But let's move on here a little bit tonight so we have time for prayer. We want to be done by 8, don't we, Pastor Dave? Be done by 8? Yeah, let's try to be done by 8. Or 8:30. Okay. But we want to start praying for sure at 8. Turn again to John 4 as our model. Is this making sense? Am I going too fast? Okay. I mean, we're a small group. Let's interact. Just talk. We're all family. Just feel, hey, Anthony, what the heck are you doing? You know, okay. I'm not offended, really. I mean. Oh, 2 Samuel 5 was just another example of him inquiring of the Lord. I just wanted to give you, there's twice in 1 Samuel 23, 2 Samuel 5, 2 Samuel 16, 2 Samuel 10. It's all throughout David's life. He never just, hey, you know, you never see a scripture, David goes and attacks the Philistines. See, there's people that do evangelism like this. Well, I just heard a sermon, went to a class, got my four tracts, walk up and go, hey, how you doing? You got a few minutes to go through this little thing with me? No clue if the guy's open at all. And they get in an argument. That's why the church doesn't like evangelism, and that's why the world doesn't like evangelism. Beloved, there's a better way. There's a better way. Or as Paul said, there's a more excellent way. Right? There's a better way. I am partnering with the Holy Ghost. It's so fun. I can't tell you how fun it is. Words of knowledge especially are a blast. Or healings, they go, I'm all healed. You know, it's just like, yeah, it's great. You know, ain't it fun? You know. So in John 4, okay, I just want to remind us, we're not going to spend a lot of time here. I want to give you some principles. I'm very big on what I call, as I used to teach American Christian history, the principle approach. Okay, principle, one of the principles I talked about, everybody say the word engage. Whether you're a chatty patty or, you know, a quiet mic or whatever, whatever you are, it doesn't matter. At some point, you want to be willing, maybe once a month versus once a day, engaging somebody in some level of conversational interaction. Okay? Sometimes you just got to get them talking to you so that you give an, think of your conversation as a bed that the word of knowledge or the gift of, or healing, whatever, can ride on, okay? Just like music is the bed on which the Spirit of God rides on. We know that, right? Elijah said, bring me a minstrel that I might prophesy. As a prophetic minister, I really prefer when I'm doing prophetic presbyteries to have some music. It's a little dry without it, okay? I mean, you could do it, but, and conversations get us kind of warmed up But most of us have a hard time understanding that the spirit voice and God can speak to you right while this thing's flapping. God can just drop into you because the word of knowledge does not come from your mind. So you can talk and he can just drop it in there. The question is, will you recognize? That's the dilemma. Will you recognize it in the midst of that, you see? Now, so what I practice what I call spotted conversation. Just like that. How you doing? See? I'm taking little pauses and I'm listening. Okay? It's like your prayer life. Remember I said the Lord convicted the crud out of me a few years ago when I was teaching on hearing God. And he said, Anthony, he said, most of your prayer time is talking and not listening. And oh, that was hard to hear. But it was so true. Most evangelism, we're talking at people. The key to evangelism is listening, asking questions. I want to know what you believe and why you believe it. Now, in the midst of me talking to you about that or some kind of God thing. Now, again, with John 4, he started out talking about water. I'm probably, as an evangelistic person, I don't start off with God. I don't lead with God. I start off with a nice shirt. You want to have a coffee? You know, would you like a brush for your hair? Whatever, you know. That's a little joke there. God bless you. See, he's cool. Yeah, she said it earlier. I know she actually called me about that. She said, would you bust his chops about his hair? Yeah, so, yeah. I need the, can I get the $5, by the way? I need the money. By the way, Anna was at our conference this weekend. Yeah, and came all the way down from, I don't know where you live, Fergus Falls or Ashby. Yeah, so, yeah. Wouldn't you have a good time this weekend? That was fun. Yeah, so. But I don't lead with God. I lead with a casual, known, comfortable, everybody say comfortable, thing. If Jesus would have walked up to that woman at the well, in John 4, goes, hey, you're in adultery. Up goes the wall. Right? Come on. And I mean, look, okay, God could do that. I mean, and it could be awesome, and they could repent and fall on knees and cry out, oh, you're a prophet, and blah, blah, blah. But that's not the norm, okay? That's not the principal model, okay? So let's go with the biblical model is, give me a drink of water. And as he's talking, and she ain't getting it, he hears, husband. Right? Totally out of the context of the conversation. Got his attention. He said, go call your husband. Now, I normally frame a word of knowledge in a question, like you did. Can I pray for you? Like you did. Here, I don't know if this means anything. Can I give you this? It's a humble way of not presuming. We do not want to presume on their openness. You never want to presume on someone's openness. You ask them a question, they will let you know how open they are or are not. Okay? And as you do that, you know, like my wife loves to pray for people. She'll go up, she goes, may I pray for you? And then she says, and they say, well, sure. And then she says, may I lay hands on you? You know, especially if it's an opposite sex. I mean, you want their permission, you see. So we want to be sensitive not only to the word of knowledge coming into our conversations, but we want to be sensitive to the pull of the Lord. Now, let me give you some examples. Eye contact is very good. Okay? Body posture. This is not looking good. Okay? You know, this is not looking good. Right? I don't just bust up and say, go, hey, come here. But if someone is sitting around and their wife is shopping, well, I love to go in the mall with guys. They're bored stiff. They're on the benches, you know, outside the ladies' shops. You know what I'm talking about, right? You've seen that. And these guys are like, oh, you know, and the kids are playing Angry Birds, you know, and stuff. And you know, a lot of times, but you know what? I used to presume they're open and I'd stop and talk to those guys. Doesn't mean they're open, but they might be. I know they're bored. I know they're bored, okay? But I don't know if they're open. So I'd say, Lord, you want me to talk with that guy? Now, many times the Lord will do this. He'll say, they're not going to get saved. They're not that open, but I want you to at least start something. Just go talk to them for a few minutes. And he'll do that with me. Because what's the success in evangelism? Obedient, okay? Some sow, some water, God gives you increase, right? Right? Okay. Let me talk about some examples. I want to give you a little list here, if I can, a little checklist. Different ways the word of knowledge can be used. Number one, it can be a body part. Okay? It can be a body part. You're talking to somebody for whatever reason, and you might get knee or back or kidney or whatever. A lot of times when I'm flowing the gifts at the end of a service or a conference, the Lord will start calling out. If you've been that, word of knowledge calls out. Somebody's got a bad knee, bad ear, whatever. Okay? It's just a word of knowledge. But it, in church, it's a little easier. You flow, whatever. But in the marketplace, it's a little bit different. So while you're talking to somebody, and the Lord will be gracious with you at first, and he'll say, knee, da-da-da-da, knee, da-da-da-da, knee, And you're like, do you have something wrong with your knee, nothing? So he'll give you sometimes a body part. Again, you're not talking about body parts. You're just talking to that person. But it's like, people, when they first start learning to prophesy, they get all, and their heart is racing, but that doesn't happen to me anymore. I don't need that. I know when I'm getting a word. But when I first started prophesying over people, oh my gosh, I thought I was having a heart attack, boom, 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 A friend of mine, she turns all red. I go, you got a word, don't you, Trish? And she goes, yeah, I got a word. And she's all red and, all like, I said, are you embarrassed? She goes, no, it's the Holy Ghost, So it can be a body part. But again, what do? We ask a question. Do you have something? We don't just say, in the name of Jesus, you got a bad knee. No, we just go, is your knee okay? And they can go like, no, it's fine. Okay, great. They look at you weird and go, so hey, how about those twins, man? Just move right on. Just. Now, let me say something about that. If they say no, don't assume you missed it. They might be embarrassed or not comfortable with you praying. Don't assume you missed it. Don't assume that. I've had so many services where I've called out words of knowledge, and people don't come forward, and then they come up at, Anthony, I'm the guy with the migraines or the, whatever, Okay. Number two, it could be somebody's name. Okay. It could be a personal name, like Bob or Susie or something like that. Okay. And again, that's just something I've had those happen where, and I said, do you have anybody that named Bob, whatever. I go, yeah, that's my uncle. He just passed away, or whatever. Okay. So don't dismiss it. Especially if you hear it repeatedly. Okay? Now, for me, if I hear the slightest nuance of something coming to me, I trust it and I step out in it. That's why people go like your friend there, wow, how did he know that stuff? Well, I trust what I hear. And most times it's right. See? Yeah. And I hear that a lot, praise God, because over the years I've practiced trusting what I hear. And I want you to think about it this way. Okay? It's the only way I know how to communicate that. It's like it's out there in the spirit and I'm grabbing it. You know what I mean by that? That makes sense to you? And sometimes it's right here and it's like, oh yeah, knee. Ooh, that's really odd. Sometimes it's very faint. It's out there and I can barely, quote unquote, hear it. But you just, and again, it's going to feel like this in your spirit. That's the only way I know to communicate this. You're talking to somebody. I'm talking to Nate, right? And we're just chit-chatting and I get the word knee and it's way out there. And it's like, well, okay, ooh, this isn't very strong, and it's a little scary as you begin to step on it, but that's okay, you won't die. It's okay, you might miss it, you step out in it. But as you pull in and do this more often, it'll become less faint. And you're like, oh yeah, knee. Okay? It'll be someone's name. The other thing it could be a condition or a body part, cancer, whatever. I've had a number of cancer words of knowledge for people out in the marketplace, not in the church. The other thing can be interesting, it can be numbers, okay? It can be numbers. We moved to our house, it was August, and I was moving myself, it was hard, I was tired, I wanted to get a massage for my muscles, so I went down and I got this massage from this friend of mine, or not this friend of mine, a friend of mine owns a studio, but this gal, I'd never met her before, she's working on me, and I'm laying there, and it's all, great, getting a massage on my back. Oh, this is great, man. And all of a sudden you hear 13, 19, 13, 19. I'm like, oh, God, please, come on, Lord. I just want a massage, Can we not do this right now? Kind of like you. He's like, I don't want to go pray for this guy. But see, it's not about us. So at the end of the massage, I say, look, and again, I want you to understand how I'm presenting this. I said, look, this might seem a little strange. I'm a Christian, and I feel like the Lord just spoke to me something significant about, and I knew as I was getting it that something happened to her at 30 and 19. Because see, as you agree in your heart that you're going to be willing to step out on the word of knowledge, you will get more information. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. So I said, okay. So as I was kind of getting dressed and getting ready to get together, I knew it was something happened, but I didn't know what. So I'm presenting it to her, and I said, I feel like God showed me that something happened to you at 13 and 19. Is that true? And she just started bawling. And she said, oh my gosh, I had two car accidents. One I was 13, one I was 19. And when I was 19, I saw an angel's hand come down and put his hand on my head because I hit the head so hard they thought it should have been dead. Ended up leading her to the Lord. She got saved. Got her plugged into a church down in Hopkins. All I heard was 13, 19, 13, 19. But see, I don't dismiss anything because I've learned, beloved, there's no such thing as random information. Everything has a source. I was pretty sure that wasn't the devil. And I was real sure it wasn't me because my flesh did not want to minister to that woman right now, that young gal. Amen. So I trust what I hear. And through practice, everybody say practice, I've developed my spiritual senses to pretty much, you know, hopefully get it pretty accurate, okay? All right, the word of knowledge can also come in a picture or a picture of knowledge. Genesis 15:1 is a wonderful example. It says, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, well, was it a vision or was it a word of the Lord? Yes. Right? Turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. We actually will look at a scripture here, just so David doesn't get upset. What's that? Oh, okay. All right. Hallelujah. Okay. I know you Bible people know this story. Naaman the Syrian's coming to Elijah to get healed. So he comes in there in 2 Kings 5, and Elijah has him dip in the water seven times. He comes up and get healed, okay? And he wants to give him some money, okay? Which, you know, was standard back then. And so in verse 19, Elijah said, go in peace, no problem. Verse 20, Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, says, huh, my master has spared this guy by not receiving from his hands what he brought. As the Lord lives, I'll run after him and take something from him. Ouch. So he goes and he has a nice conversation with Naaman, and Naaman in verse 23 gives him all the stuff. And he gives him money and gold and clothes and olive groves and camels and all this stuff. And so he comes over the hill in verse 24. He hides him in his tent, in his house, and he goes and he stands before the man of God. Now, if you know any prophets, it's not a good idea to lie to a prophet. Okay, it's just not smart. I don't care how smart you think you are. Just don't do that. Okay? So he goes in and see, if you've been around prophetic people, you know what the prophetic loaded questions look like. You know what they sound like. Like, where have you been, Gehazi? Oh, your servant went nowhere, Lord, in verse 24. Yeah, well, he's not asking you for really. It's like Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, Adam, where are you? Yeah, God didn't look for information here, is he? Right? So he says, where did you go? He says, verse 25, your servant went nowhere. And then verse 26, I want you to listen to the language here. Then he said to him, did not my heart go with you? Did not my heart go with you? Well, of course, the answer is yes. When you went out to receive clothes and olive gardens and vineyards and sheep and blah, 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 and he ends up being leprous. What does that mean, his heart went with him? Many times when I've ministered to people or get around people and just praying for them, whatever, I'll get a little video clip. Maybe it's just a still shot, just a, you know, photo. But sometimes a little short video clip, and I'll see them doing something. And this really blows people away when I say, you know, I saw you yesterday in your house, and you were crying on your bed or whatever. I've had that happen many, many, many times. And it just opens their heart like crazy. But see, a lot of us would dismiss that going, well, yeah, I saw some picture of something, and maybe, you know. But that's a picture of knowledge, if you will. There's not a word there. There's not a name or a disease or a number, but it's knowledge. It's God's knowledge. See, a word of knowledge is what God knows of anything currently happening or past. It's not future. Not future. Okay? And you might be talking to somebody, and all of a sudden, shoo, again, out of nowhere, right? Whoop, remember that? Whoop, just out of nowhere. Bam. Don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss it. God's talking to you. God's showing you something that he knows. Now, that one's a little more interesting to present to people, okay? And what I usually do is this, is say, you know, hey, you know, I know we're just talking here, but it seemed like I had an impression. They're okay with that. That, you know, yesterday, you know, were you having a bad day? It's like I saw you. And you kind of like, you want to come to them sort of like you're unsure. Although you may be totally sure. Chances are you're not actually, but that's okay. Okay. You know? But just like, you know, I saw this and, you know, and I saw you. I feel like I saw you, you know, on your bed crying yesterday or you had a car accident or whatever. I mean, Susan one time had, you know, last week on Tuesday, you had a car accident. And I was like, whoa, you know, what the, you know, where planet are you from? You know, kind of thing. But, and you know, when you say, is that true? And of course, by the time you even get to that, they're probably bawling by then anyway, you know, or just like, you know. But that way, again, presenting as a question, presenting as, hey, I'm just not sure, it comes in under the radar, comes in humility. And if you are missing it, they don't go like, what are you trying to do here? Kind of some hot shot. You say, you know, and again, and they may not remember. They may not want to tell you. It may be very personal. Oftentimes, what I've learned when I get a picture of knowledge, it's usually very personal. Usually very personal. I've seen sexual abuse videos, not with graphic detail, thank God, but just enough. Car accidents, people wounded or crying oftentimes. Usually the videos are very personal. But I want you to be open to them because God will use them. I think it was Chuck's wife. Is it Kelly Ripa? Chuck's wife, Kelly? Kathy. Yeah, Kathy said she sees a lot. She said, I don't hear a lot, but I see pictures. Well, that's okay. Maybe some of you here tonight, you're highly, highly graphic. Great. Expect God to give you a little snapshot. And then you step out in it. Yeah, Pastor Dave. I will see the features. I will see the face or the, but maybe it's just a more visual. I don't know. But I have had a number of times where, and I would do it this way. I would get a general sense of yesterday you were weeping on your couch or something like that. And sometimes I don't see them. I'll just see a person, but I know it's them. Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, you may not see a face and the hair and the eyes and the glasses and the whole thing. You might. But probably, I would say more often than not, you're going to get an impression that this person was encountering some issue, and you know it's them, right? Because you have that surety. So that would be probably, I would guess, for most of you, more normal. Did you understand what he said? Okay, all right. So here we see Elijah really moving in a very strong word of knowledge, but it said, my heart went with you. Again, another way to phrase the word of knowledge is you just know something. You just know that you know that you know. Some of you will not have a sense of a word coming to your spirit or a picture, but all of a sudden you're talking to somebody and you just know. That's okay. Step out with that and articulate what you know or sense. And for some of you, at first, it's always going to go like this. It's going to go broad to shallow. Most of you will start off with a sense of something, okay? Now, that's okay. As you practice this, you will be more confident and you will get more clarity. A number of you came up to me last week and you wanted me to pray for you. You had some questions. And I shared with a couple of you, I don't remember who came up, but a principle I've learned. This is another principle. When you want to inquire of the Lord, the more specific the question, the higher a level of clarity the answer will be. Let me say that again. I'll see if I can be more articulate. When you inquire the Lord, say, well, Lord, you know, if you were to say, Lord, help me about my future. That's, you know, you're not going to get a lot of clarity out of that because what's God going to say? Well, I'm going to bless, you know. But if you say, Lord, next Tuesday, should I go for a job interview at that store? You're probably going to get a more specific answer. So the more specific the request, the greater clarity on the answer. So when I'm around somebody and I'm sharing with them or witnessing to them, I want to ask a very specific question. Lord, do you want me to pray for them now? Do you want me to pray for their back? Do you want me to share with them? Why do you want me to share with them? What do you want me to say? Tell them I love them. Tell them, you know, they need to repent of what, you know what I'm saying? I want to ask the more specific of the question, the greater clarity of the answer. That make sense? Okay, amen. Hallelujah. Turn to Acts 16 really quick. I love this little one. I think it's Acts 16. No, Acts 14. I'm sorry, Acts 14. I touched on this last week. In being Spirit-led, or moving to the word of knowledge. Where is this at? Oh, yeah, here it is. All right. Verse 8, Acts 14, 8. We want, again, try to be familiar with cues, Holy Ghost cues. And Joe and is it Heidi, did you say? I talked about, or Debbie. What? Oh, Joe was, oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Debbie, okay. Everybody's wondering, like, who's he talking about, you know? Yeah, I keep pointing to her, so you guys just know. Come on, get a word on that. Get a word of knowledge. Come on, you guys. Just flow, yeah. I've always been struck by this little exchange here in Acts 8. And I mentioned it in passing last week. Let's just look at it. Acts 14, 8. Yep, right. I know I go a little quick, and I apologize. I just get excited. At Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke. Now, I always used to assume that it was a big crowd. But there's really nothing in Scripture to indicate that. I mean, it seems that way, and I would probably say that. But really, yeah, okay, verse 11 it says crowd. Oh, I was looking before then. All right, so okay, great. Yeah, so I was right. Yeah, I always thought it was crazy. But here's the point. It can be the same if you're having a one-on-one conversation. And that's this. Watch in verse 9. The man was listening to Paul, who, when he had fixed his eyes on him, this lame man, and had seen that he had faith to be made well, said, stand up and walk. Okay? Many times in the midst of a conversation, I see a change as I'm sharing the gospel with someone, and they realize, you know what? They're open. And I said, you know what? How about, you know, right now, would you like to give your life to Jesus? One of the biggest mistakes I see with the charismatic movement of word of knowledge and healing is people are not inviting people to give their life to Christ. I mean, talking about healing people, seeing miracles, and they're not, as I would say it, closing the deal. Okay? And I have to be reminded of that sometime. I was flying down to Austin, Texas. I do a lot of ministry in Austin, especially in the wintertime. I'm going there in a few weeks. Hallelujah. Woo! 70 degrees. Amen. And I'm on this plane, and I'm next to this guy, and I never really just assumed, but I'm sitting there, and it's a three-hour flight, and I'm going, you know, I hadn't talked to him the whole flight. So at the end, I just said, okay, Lord, and I tuned in, you know, and I said, you know, you have anything for this guy? And I heard the word peace. I turned to him, and I said, you know, and this is exactly how I said it. I said, you know, I'm a Christian, and I was just kind of praying for you, talking to the Lord about you, and to see if he wanted to share anything with you. And he said that you're looking for peace, that you need peace in your life. And I just asked, is that true? And he goes, yeah, that's really true. And I said, well, look, and I was kind of playing, I was copping out here really bad. And because I always carry a track with me, and I got him out on the table, but I hand him a little gospel booklet. And I said, here, just read this, and this will help you find peace. And I thought, oh, I'm done, you know, I'm going to check it out, you know. Because it was a very busy week. I was 10 days of ministry, and I had a lot in my mind. So I'm like, okay, whatever. And he said, thanks. And so we're walking down the walkway to get the baggage, and I'm walking behind him, and I hear as clear as I'm talking to you right now, I hear, close the deal. And I'm thinking, no, this is before I was really too smart, and not that I'm there yet, but I'm just like, huh, what? You know, got like a fly in my head. I heard, close the deal. And I'm like, oh, the guy with the, oh, okay. So I walked up to him. We're down at the baggage claim. And I walked up to him. I don't think he didn't even read the track even. And I said, would you like to give your life to Jesus right now? He goes, yeah. So we knelt down in baggage claim in front of a couple hundred people. He wanted to kneel down. So I'm. And my chauffeur person, my, you know, the guy that's picking me up, is sitting out on the curb watching this, you know, it's just pastor of a church. and or the youth pastor, whatever. And so we're kneeling down. He gives his life to the Lord. And he ends up getting plugged into a church down in San Marcos, Texas. Ends up becoming an elder of the church. All because I didn't dismiss, close the deal, and I didn't dismiss peace. And I was willing to take 30 seconds of my life and say, Lord, do you got anything for him? Amen. It's really not hard. Just got to practice. It's so fun. And when you get to heaven, love all these jewels of people. I just can't wait to hug all these people and see them and just go, man, wasn't that great, you know? Because see, I can't wait to see Timothy Moore, who led me to the Lord in 1978. I haven't seen him since. He prayed a prayer with me and walked away. I'm so thankful that he did that. I'm so thankful that he did that. That he took time, he walked around, he saw some kid at 18 years old. He said to me, do you know the Lord? I didn't have a clue. It was going to hell. And I can't wait to see him in heaven. Say thank you. Thank you. And I believe there's so many people today that are so open. They're just so open. They don't even know they're open, and they're open. Sorry, I'm getting a little messed up here. But I want you to focus on the fact that sometimes you can see whether people are open. You can look in their eye. I want you to be sensitive to that, and you can see the openness in their heart. Beloved, don't be afraid. Jeremiah says that cursed is a man who uses a sword without shedding blood. It's okay to get in there and say, hey, you need to repent. In love, you need to repent. That sin's going to kill you. You know, I think we have a fear of challenging people. We have a fear of making them uncomfortable. Listen, that's part of our job, is to make people uncomfortable in their sin so they get out of it. It's okay. Repentance is not a bad word. It means metanoia in the Greek. It means to change your mind. Okay? You need to repent. Change your mind about what you're doing. It's going to kill you. That sin will kill you, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm all messed up. Glory to God. Spirit-led witnessing. Prophetic evangelism. The principles are all the same. We want to inquire the Lord, ask the Lord, be sensitive to what's going on around us, and move out. What I'd like to do now is just begin to pray a little bit. I want to practice. What I'd like you to do is, and I don't care if you know somebody, it's okay. And we're going to pray for one another. And I want you just to go ahead and be praying. And then be open to God interrupting your prayer or dropping something in there that's outside of the context of the prayer that might be a word of knowledge for them, okay? And but I don't want you to do this. I do not want you to say, hey, what do you need prayer for? I don't want you to do that. Do not ask them what they want prayer for. I want you simply to begin to pray. But, of course, you know, take 3 or 4 seconds and maybe get a sense before you start talking, okay? Do we want to do any kind of, do you want to do an offering first or something? Is that, yeah, why don't we do that real quick, and then we'll do a quick thing and a bathroom break, ladies. And then we'll come back and we'll pray and practice this, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. So, yeah, we'll give Dave the mic and off we go.
That's good stuff. I do want to thank you for your generosity. Thank you for just your kindness. And, you know, a couple of things. We have a sign-up sheet out on the table right outside the door. If you would like to get on a list, you know, we won't sell it to anybody. We won't even sell it to Anthony.
Oh, come on.
But really, we do part of the call on this house is to equip people that aren't necessarily in churches that teach or that can teach these kinds of things. You know, they're, for whatever reason, their theological training from the pastor hasn't allowed this, and we're okay with that. And there's what thrills me is at least half of you are not from this house. Mm. And we're not trying to get you to come to this house. Mm. We're trying to get you to learn how to walk in the Spirit and then take it and do it wherever you live. Mm-hmm. And wherever you go, and to be a blessing to the church that you're a part of. So that's just part of the call on us as a people. And so we have things going on, whether it's Higher Call or other conferences, other things that we do. And if you'd like to be on a mailing list, you know, please just go ahead and sign up, email, and we'll add you to the mailing list. One of the things that is happening is in the middle of February, February 5th, 15th, 16th, and 17th, is a Knowing God, a conference that we're doing with a good friend of ours, Alan Ross from Glasgow, Scotland. His prophet of the Lord. He travels all over the world, and he's actually a member of this church. We are his American church that he has signed on, you know, with blood on the dotted line. We make people do that. Not really. But in America, we're his home church, and we have developed a relationship with Alan, and he is a prophet of the Lord. If you've ever been scared by prophets, you know, thinking that there's these guys running around with frizzy hair and locusts in their teeth, and Alan is a genuine, humble, and loving man of God that will just shift your understanding of what a prophet looks like in the New Testament. So you are just very welcome to come to that. There's some brochures out on the table. You can help yourself to that. And ushers, come on up. And Father, we do thank you for this generous people, God. We bless. Yes, anybody need an envelope? Marcy's waving the envelope at me. If you need an envelope to track your giving, you can just wave at one of the ushers here. And God, we're just so grateful for your provision. God, we're grateful for your heart, God, to see people miraculously redeemed. And God, that the things that we're doing here tonight, God, is equipping for the work of the harvest, God, that we are on the doorstep of an incredible harvest and a move of God. And God, you are equipping harvesters. So, Lord, we want to sow into the harvest tonight. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Thank you for your giving.
Praise God. Amen. Whoops. Up some. Okay. Am I still on? Yeah? Yep. That's one too? Yep, I'm on. Okay, good. And I want to reiterate what Dave said. Thank you for your giving. To Susan and I, and a lot of your money goes to some poor starving children, which are mine. I'm kidding. Sort of. But we do thank you so very much. This is what we do for a living, and it's a joy. So once we're done with the offering, I want you to find someone to pair up with. And it can be three, but twos are good. And I want you to just take turns praying for one another and just let yourself kind of free flow, just kind of pray. But as you're praying, I really want you to be sensitive. The way I would get it is something trying to get in here? See that? Is something trying to get in here? Another way to think about it, is something leading me away from the way I'm praying? See? Is someone trying to get, because we'll pray out of our, you know, knowledge or experience or our reservoir of scripture or what we think should pray, or we'll pray to what the person looks like they need prayer for, you know, like that. And I want you to be sensitive to someone leading you another way. Or you would, this is how you would think of it, although it's not. You would say, something came to me, or a thought. I got a new thought, okay? It's probably going to be a word. 90% of words of knowledge are, guess what? They're words. Yeah, okay? You may maybe also call it an impression. It's all of a sudden, it's like right here, and you just kind of, ooh, I get a sense of something. I'm praying for her kids and stuff like that. But, oh, all of a sudden, I get a sense for a car or something. Car. So then you begin to pray that. And then you, listen very careful. As you switch gears to what this thing that grew up into your spirit, you begin to pray this way. Here's what will happen. You will begin to get more information. You'll begin to get the prophetic download. And you'll get absolute clarity. And you go from, Lord, I think she needs a car. Oh, you asked God last week for a red car. Woo! Yeah, that's what we're looking for. See? And that happens to me all the time. Because I'll get the general download, but then as I step out in it, I get the rest of the story. See? Amen. So find somebody to pair up with. Go ahead. And again, if you can find a stranger, that would be good, you know. But let's just be fairly quick. That's fine. Let me just a minute. Sure. Yeah, let me just make sure that up here. Okay, and try not to be too chatty. We want to get right to the exercise. Okay. And again, if you can get someone who's unfamiliar, that's better. Okay. Steve, you looking for somebody? Oh, how about you got somebody? Okay. You can do three. Yeah, I'll be prayed up here. Okay, so what I want you to do is just begin praying for someone. Don't ask, don't talk. Just say, okay, I'm going to pray. And then you start praying. And as you pray, you're praying along and you're looking for a little download, a little interrupt, a little something different, something to come into that prayer that is outside of what you're doing. You're looking for the word of knowledge in that prayer. Okay? And I've discussed tonight the variety of ways they can come. So are we all good? Everybody's good? You want someone to... Okay, all right. All right, go ahead. And then switch, you know, go just for a minute or so, and then switch, and then we'll talk about it. Okay, and remember, we don't want to chat. We just want to pray and say, hey, I feel like I got something, then pray it out. And that person goes, yeah, that was really right on. And then you switch. Yeah, you switch. You both pray for each other. Yep. So in the midst, as you're praying, be listening to something come in there. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Hallelujah. And when you feel like you've both had a chance to pray and compare notes on your hearing, go ahead and break up and go back to your seats. How'd that work? Okay, you two are cheating here. Did it work though? You're married. I mean, are you guys married? Yeah. So, yeah, you got a little something there for okay. He prayed your mail. Did he pray your mail? Okay. All right. It's hard when you know people, but you can do it. Still do it. Yeah. Okay. Let's try to wrap up in just another minute. Hallelujah. Shut up. Praise God. Okay, you guys pretty much done. Got to get back to your seats and we'll share some testimonies. Okay, who wants to share a little bit about either when you got prayed for, but mostly like to hear when you prayed for somebody, what you heard and then how they responded. Who wants to share about that? You're a walking testimony there. That's all right. How about somebody who hasn't shared? Some of you guys. Some of you guys that haven't said anything for a while. Some of you guys kind of back here hiding, you know, quiet. Hallelujah. There we go. All right. Get some men of God talking about this stuff. All right. Tell us what happened.
My name's Damien, and this is Mike.
Okay.
And at first, I had no idea, and I just asked God, what do you want for Mike?
Okay.
And he said freedom. And so I didn't really get into the second, third question and all that stuff. I just went with it.
Okay.
And I asked him if it resonated with him. He said yes. So I continued. And then I saw prison cells and doors and gates flying wide open. So I just went with that in my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked him later, did that resonate with you? And he said yes.
Okay. Now, here's another where we'd want to go is specifically what the freedom is. Freedom's kind of general. So what we would want to believe for is, you might know what you want freedom from, or, but what's really impactful to, especially a lost person, is when you not only say God wants to bring you freedom, but freedom in this area or freedom with this thing, okay? And so what you can do is say, Lord, what about freedom? What kind of freedom?
Sure.
And you can keep inquiring. Remember how you guys, I talked about backing that voice into a corner? See, keep asking, keep asking, keep asking. Now, it takes practice and faith, but that's where we want to get to. Actually, tonight, I didn't want you to ask the Lord first. I wanted you to pray and let him drop it in that. Because, see, what I'm shooting for tonight is I want you to get used to speaking, and on the flow of that speaking, something comes in. That's what I'm looking for. I call it a midwalk. What's a midwalk, Anthony? Middle of the conversation, word of knowledge. So right in the middle of something. Now, you can get a pre-walk where I'm looking at you and I get a download. You can get those. But I like, hey, Dave, how's the weather? How was the golf game? Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Boom.
Yeah.
Change of course. Oh, how's your uncle? Mm-hmm. Wow, how did you know? Yeah, boom, there we go. See? So that was the goal tonight, is talking, praying. Now, we could talk, but since we're Christians and this is not really a witnessing situation, it wouldn't be the same. So I wanted you to pray and let God interrupt the prayer. You know what I found is really cool when I do these exercises? The Holy Spirit works with me, and he teaches you while I'm giving you these exercises. He actually does this with me. It's awesome. I'm just an associate professor. He's the prof here tonight. So that ministered to you, And then now if you guys want, you can ask the Lord and see how you're doing. You can practice your hearing and go, Lord, what about freedom? And if you hit it, he'll tell you. Don't tell him. Oh, you already told him? The area of freedom you're looking for? You did. Okay. All right. Yeah, no, I didn't. We didn't. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now, suppose that he didn't hear freedom and he just saw prison cells, which happens a lot. You know, you get pictures. What would you do? What do you do with that? Two things. You can ask the Lord, what about prison cells? Or say to him, hey, I just happened to see this picture of prison cells. Does that mean anything to you? Right? So you can ask them, depending on where you're at with them, or you can ask the Lord. Amen? Okay. Good. Excellent. Anybody else? Anybody else? Oh, over here. Good. I don't think we've done you guys yet. Did you do? Were you last week? Did I get you last week?
No.
Okay. All right.
So I prayed for Deb.
Okay. Deb. Not Joe. Yeah. Deb.
Deb.
Deb. Deb. Lord, I'm hearing Deb, Lord. Hearing Deb.
And I was generally praying for her identity in Christ.
Okay.
And I heard still.
You heard what?
Still.
Still.
Stillness.
Okay.
And
so let me guess, that wasn't in your mind to pray for when you were praying for identity?
No.
See? I want you to get this.
That's a good guess.
I'm really sharp, I've done this once before.
All right. So I asked her, I get stillness or still. She goes, well, just this week I asked the Lord, I'm always moving, I'm always shaking, I'm, always thinking. And she said, I asked the Lord, can you help me with that?
Or, can you change
oh, can you change that? And the scripture I got is, you know, be still and know I am God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
good. Now, what we can do, let's say she's in a witnessing situation and we're growing in our confidence now. And you're talking to someone and let's say it's still, but let's say it's, you know, something else. And you're talking to them like the guy on the plane. I said, you're looking for peace, aren't you? See, I was a little, instead of, are you looking for peace? Now I can step a little bit with a little more security going, you're looking for peace, aren't you? Yeah. So that would have really, that has more impact. Okay. Jesus could have said, do you have a husband? But he steps it up just a little bit. He didn't go all the way to, hey, you're an adulteress. He just took it a little bit and he said, go call your husband. He set her up is what he did. Yeah. Which is okay. Right? So you can do that. That's one thing you can do is just kind of move a little bit. Now, again, depending on your confidence, well, what if I miss it? Well, what if you do? Nothing bad's going to happen. So depending on your level of confidence, you can go that way. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. I feel like Bob Barker here. Come on now.
Help me understand this. Can you get a word of knowledge for the corporate body? And here's why. I don't even know how many years.
You mean like a church?
Well, let me share this and then maybe it'll help you with what I'm trying to ask. Like, I got the words prophetic evangelism probably 8-9 years ago. And I went to our pastor and I'm like, what's prophetic evangelism? She's like, never heard of it. You know, I'd Google, I wouldn't find anything. I'd go look for books, tapes.
That's sad, though. That's kind of sad, isn't it? Not about your pastor, but just can't even find it on Google. Yeah.
Right.
So go ahead. Right.
So no, there was just, I couldn't find anything out there.
Right.
And then finally, probably about 5 years ago, you know, I started seeing teachers starting to teach on that topic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can you speak into that for me and help me understand?
Yeah. Well, okay. So what have we learned so far in the last couple of weeks? When we get a revelation or download, what's the first thing we should do? Remember the three questions. What are the three questions? This is a good, this is out of my prophetic class, but is this for me or someone else? Is it public or private? Is it now or later? Okay? Say that with me. Me or someone else? Public or private? Now or later? So that applies more to giving prophetic words, but the first thing I would have done if I'm just trucking along, prophetic evangelism. Oh, Lord, do you want me to move in prophetic? Is this a word that you're encouraging me because I have a grace in this area? Or is this for, you know, me or someone else? Is this for my church, right? So that's the first thing. You obviously sense it was a word for your church, right? Or you sense it was for the body of Christ.
The body of Christ.
Okay. So I wouldn't call that a word of knowledge. I would call that the heart of God, or like a more really of a prophetic impartation.
Well, he told me he released it on 9/11.
Okay.
Twin Towers went down.
Sure.
He released prophetic evangelism. I had some understanding.
Okay.
But I just, it was like,
yeah.
Is that a word of knowledge?
You know, gosh, that's a new twist. I would not call that a word of knowledge, no, because it's not something that's happened now or in the past. See, here's how I define prophetic or prop. It's the heart of God. I believe the heart of God is prophetic evangelism right now. It's, you know, it's one of the things that he's doing. Frankly, I was going to share with you what I really feel the word now word for the body of Christ is, but word of knowledge would be something mostly, most of the time, what's happened in someone's past, and then you tell them that, they're like, oh my gosh, how could you know that? It's God to say, here I am, I know all about you, I care about you, I love you, I want to speak to this issue, or at least get your attention. But I think what you heard is you heard the heart of God, and it's something he wanted to release in the body of Christ. It's forward-looking. That was forward-looking. Prophetic is always forward-looking, per se. Word of knowledge is current or past. Word of wisdom is action to be taken for your life, okay? And then, so that's how those are called the revelation and vocal gifts. And so the bottom line is, you picked up the heartbeat of God, I believe. And I believe that was a word for the body of Christ. Yes, I agree with you. Yes. And I don't think it's ever going to go away. It's not like a season. It's just how we should do evangelism, right? You can call it word of knowledge evangelism. You can call it spirit-led witnessing. I don't care what you call it. But let's just be in tune with God when we're witnessing, right? My bottom line is, let's just witness, you know? It's like, that's what I appreciate about Kevin Dedman and what he's done with treasure hunting. He's got a lot of charismatics at least thinking about witnessing. Because we're all, let's face it, we're all enamored with prophetic stuff. We think it's cool and sexy. And, you know, when you hear prophetic, you hear, I'm going to get a word, you know? So, I mean, we really, so that's got us all excited about evangelism. Well, praise God. Anything that can get us excited about evangelism, I'm for it. Right? But I want to tell you about my assignment for you this week. And I apologize, I didn't bring my notes. I got caught up with this conference this weekend. I'll give them to you next week. But I want you to write these down or think about these. I want to give you the three things I'd like to see you do this weekend. And what treasure hunting do is, I call it a pre-word of knowledge. The methodology is, well, how many people are familiar with treasure hunting? Okay, most of you, okay? Okay, all right. So I don't need to explain that. But that's, you know, it's getting the gift before you meet the recipient. I found that a small percentage can do that. Not a large percentage of the body of Christ can do that. It's a great thing. It's an awesome deal. But I'm trying to find a way to include as many people as possible. All right? So this week, here's some of your assignments. Number one, I want you to be sensitive to a leading or a pull on somebody around you. Like I talked about, like I showed you with Nate and Heidi and stuff and David. I want you to be sensitive to, as you're going about your day, now this can be Christian or non, as you walk by them, see them, talk to them, you're going to feel like, whoa, there's something here. I don't know what it is, but there's something here. I'm going to go back to that, okay? What this week, between now and next Sunday, I would like to have one of those experiences, okay? Number two, I would like you, as you pray or talk to someone, to see if you get a word of knowledge walk, a word of knowledge, in the midst of talking and or praying for someone, like we did tonight. Okay, you're praying along, and I'm sorry, I didn't get your name, ma'am. Christy. So Christy gets still right in the midst of praying for identity. That's it. Perfect. Great. Now, it's fun to practice on Christians. Ideally, I would like you to be talking to a non-Christian and get that same thing. My point of tonight's exercise was that in the midst of your outside voice flapping, you can hear with your spirit man. Okay? Number three. I would like you to, as you got your radar up going around this week, get a pre-walk, a pre-word of knowledge. In other words, you look at something, you see somebody, and you get a word. Bless you, Bob. You get a word. There's something there, and you look at them, or you walk by them, or thinking about someone you know, and just bam, get the download. Like I said, a name, a body part, a condition, a place, a vision, a picture, whatever, okay? So I'm going to go over that again. A leading or a pull towards someone. A word of knowledge in mid-sentence, mid-conversation, mid-prayer, and a word from the Lord before you share the gospel or talk to someone or you know, before you have an engagement with them. Maybe you're thinking about, you're walking toward them, or you're looking at them, and bam, you get a little download. It's usually just going to be a word or a picture. Okay?
So not that third one, that wouldn't be at home. Could that be at home if you're not out and about?
Just sure.
About that,
yeah.
Or would it?
Well, remember the story I told you about the guy, Bill Zaleski, and him shaving in front of the mirror?
Yeah.
Were you here for that? So he's not around me, but I got a name. And, of course, when I called him, you know, awesome things happened. So, yeah, you can be just in your car, and then you get the word. It can be a name. But then I want you to follow through on it. You got that. I want you to follow through and either go call that person, go up and talk to him. Don't you go, oh, well, Uncle Bob came to me. Well, you know, I don't know if it's a word of knowledge or until we find out that God's anointed and blessed that thing. See, we judge it by its fruit. If it's a word of knowledge, I go, yeah, whoa, yeah, that's, yeah, I needed still. And I just prayed that thing, you know, with, so yeah, okay. It's mostly going to happen as you're getting ready to engage someone, but not necessarily, okay? Is that clear? Everybody make sense? Okay, questions? Comments? Jokes? Stories? Puns? Limericks? Anything? You want to share something? How much you got? $1.50? $2.50? I don't know. Okay, all right.
I go out witnessing with another church,
okay.
And I was led to go up to somebody, and it was obvious he was drinking because it was in a brown paper bag. And I'm like, Lord, are you sure you want me to go up? And he's like, yeah. So I just expected him to speak through my mouth because of the anointing on me. And I didn't ask him, do you have Jesus in your heart? I said, the Lord loves you. And he started weeping. And he said, I used to be a pastor. Yeah. Now, if your flesh would have said, I don't want to go up to somebody because they're drinking a bottle of booze and you don't have anything else, you need to do it. And I said, well, you know what the Bible says? He's forever married to the backslider. All you have to do is slide back. I said, can I pray with you? He said, yeah. And I walked away. Now, did I say, give me your bottle of booze? No. That's between him and the Lord. The Lord can clean him up, all right? Mm. So I'm walking. He's running after me, telling me to throw away his bottle of booze.
Mm. Amen. Did you get a name and a number to follow up with him? And
no, he was going to go back to the church. That he, I mean, the devil was just boom, boom. Yeah. I mean, he can. You can make one mistake, get in under 1 John 1:9, okay? And God wants. God's always told me, Amy, don't feel bad. Run to me.
Right.
Because yeah. The enemy is going to be the one that pounds it into your head that God doesn't love you or your church family or whatever. Does that make sense?
Sure. Amen. So she had a little doubt, and she said, Lord, are you sure? She got that confirmation. Amen? And remember when I said the first session, if you really want to, you know, walk in obedience, you got to be open to people you might not think are your little group. Jesus did that. And trust me, you know, with opposite sex, you want to be careful. I mean, you know, I knew this guy that every, you know, cute-looking girl, he'd...
By the way, I had a guy with me. I'm sorry to say that. I wasn't...
Oh, that's okay, though. I mean, I don't have a problem. When you inquire the Lord, I mean, you're obviously a mature saint. But I'm just saying, use wisdom in that area. But you just got to be open to who you're willing to witness to. Amen? That's awesome, see? But I like the fact that she asked God. And honestly, you were like, are you sure, Lord? A little doubtful. We all get doubt. It's okay. Okay. So anything else real quick before we go? It's 8:25. No? Okay. Let me just pray for you. Yep. Well, I'll just tell you real quick. There's a church I work with down in Rosemount, and we had we had the conference the first of the year. We did a new wine thing. Anyway, I'm not big on, you know, get a word for the year because God's calendar is not the same as our Roman calendar and all that stuff. But I was there, and I was ministering the last night, and it was very, very clear to me, very strong, dropped in my spirit, two words that God is really emphasizing in this season. For the body of Christ, and in this order, but very tied together. I can't preach this, but sonship and authority. Sonship and authority. Now, the goal is authority. If we don't walk in the, I want to say apostolic authority, because it's not necessarily that, but that's how we charismatics now think about it. But because, see, government's still on God's calendar. Spiritual government, okay? It's a big deal right now. And He's trying to release authority in us. You call it divine confidence. I mean, what I'm teaching you is going to give you divine confidence in witnessing. Okay? But to the degree that you understand sonship is a degree that you'll be given authority. They are inextricably linked. Sonship or intimacy, you could say maybe identity. I preached a lot on this weekend on identity, didn't I? We had a conference on rejection. Rejection keeps you from witnessing. And a rejection attacks in this order, identity, value, and purpose. Okay? Primarily identity. So as you know and understand your sonship in God, you will move in greater authority. And so he wants us to get sonship. And, you know, the Father Heart Movement in Toronto has brought us this along, you know, with the Arnotts, you know, John and Carol have introduced to us the Father Heart of God and revolutionized the church. Revolution, you know, clearly... I remember talking to John about it one night. I saw this glory camped over the church when I was up there one time. And just the Father, just a great thing. It's transformed. But see, understanding the Father heart doesn't mean you know how to be a son. So he's going to teach us how to be son and sonship. And inextricably linked to that is you will then automatically, when you really get sonship, you will walk in great authority. And the need of the hour is for the church to walk in authority. Because if you have a stampede of sin coming down the pike, someone's not going to go, would you please go this way, please? Like you stand up with that bunch of bulls running at you and say, stop, you, over here. So authority comes not out of arrogance, comes out of sonship. Okay? But trust me, authority must be released in the earth to turn things around and get us back on a path of victory. And you see, the church has lost its influence. Let's just be honest. Okay. Sonship and then authority will bring it back. Okay? That's all I'll say. No, you're cut off. You had 150 words, now you're done. You passed your quota, Heidi.
I know.
Okay, real quick. Because they're going to fire me and I won't ever come back.
What you just said, yesterday I had a conversation because we were listening to Jake and the song, I have a destiny, I'm authority, you know that one? Okay. Well, anyways, I told the kids, guys, you got to know who you are. You're a king. You're kings and queens. Our father is the king and we have what he has. And I said, they're like, oh, okay. And, and I said, if a king says move, everybody moves. You know, and anyways, I said, pretend you're in a spaceship and it's going down. And you were born to know how to run that spaceship. You had in your mind, everybody tells you you know how to do it because everybody tells you you know how to fix this spaceship to save everybody, but you don't believe it. If you don't believe it, do you think you're going to do anything? And they're like, no. And I said, right, and everybody's going to die. But if you know who you are and you believe who you are, then you'll stand up and do what you need to do. And
right. So here's what I want you to do. Next, for this week, I want you to think about why the church knows their kings but doesn't act like it. I want you to think about that this week. And I'm going to give you a verse to study to help you answer it. Proverbs 30, 21 and 22. I want you to write that down. The answer is in that verse. You come back next week and tell me the answer, okay? Proverbs 30, 21 and 22. Okay? All right. Lord, I just bless this group. Lord, well, we are blessed. I don't know. They're blessed, and I pray on the way home there's safety. Father, we ask you to send angels to guard us on our drive. That no accident, no calamity, no slipperiness, Lord, there'll be no problems getting home. We'll all get home safe, Father. We ask you for just ministering spirits to watch over us in this night as we drive home. Lord, bless this house with increased prophetic evangelism and ministry, Lord God. Enlarge their place, enlarge their tent, enlarge their influence, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.